and your musical choice.
Evaporation. Mornings fresh, oxygen cleanest. I take a deep hit, help my mind stay the greenest. I'm already awake, so I'm not drinking coffee. Don't want a cigarette, cause it's a form of slavery. Walk into the store, cause I need a few items. The sun heats my blood like a hit of vitamins. I need to buy some food for my dreads. I can't remember why, but I need a spool of thread. Well, a man with dirty dreads, he steps around the corner. He asks me for a dime, a nickel or a quarter. I don't have any change, so I'm stepping along. But as I'm walking past, he sings to me a song. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Eliza. There's a hole. I'm humming the song. The buses and the people all keep moving along. To the shopkeeper I say, what's up? And I'm thinking about the man who's holding up the cup. I pay for all the stuff and get a pocket full of change.
Good evening. This is Michael Anderson. You're listening to 90.7 KBOO FM. Welcome to Hole in the Bucket.
Welcome. This is Jay Thiemeyer, the co-facilitator.
Hole in the Bucket is KBOO's show on housing and homelessness. We're on the second Wednesday of every month, talking about the realities of homelessness and the issues of poverty, especially as they relate to housing.
Tonight, our show will focus on Project Homeless Connect. On Tuesday, January 17th, 2006, hundreds of volunteers and community groups will gather to launch the project, an event intended to connect Portland's homeless community with much-needed medical, dental, legal, addiction, veterans, housing counseling, and employment services. We are pleased to have with us tonight three excellent guests, Multnomah County Commissioner Serena Cruz Walsh, Kim Tierney from the Health Department, and Keith Van, homeless advocate. We will be taking phone calls from the community in the second half of the show, so please stay tuned for that. But before we start talking about Project Homeless Connect, Michael will review some of the top news stories related to housing and homelessness.
Thanks, Jay. In our first headline is the Section 8 waitlist tops 17,000 in the Portland metro area. The Housing Authority of Portland currently has 5,300 families on their waiting list, which is currently closed and expected to remain closed for at least 3 years. Every week, they receive hundreds of calls and inquiries from families trying to get on the waitlist. In Clackamas County, the number of families has slightly increased to 5,475, and they estimate the length of time on the waiting list to be 4 years. Finally, in Washington County, the local housing authority has 7,031 families on the waiting list, and it is currently taking about 3.25 years to receive assistance.
Oregon has released Homeless Student Report. 11,294 children counted as homeless. State School Superintendent Susan Castillo announced in December that Oregon's homeless student population for the 2004-2005 school year was 11,294, a stunning 2% of all children enrolled K through 12. As astoundingly high Oregon's reported numbers are, advocates for children point to significant undercounting. In addition to several school districts from across the state failing to get their numbers in for the official count, the 11,294 count does not include preschool children or unenrolled school-age children.
Snags in a new Medicare drug plan are impacting Oregon seniors. The new Medicare drug plan is getting off to an uneven start here in Oregon. Some Oregon seniors can't get their prescription fills. Pharmacies and insurance companies are being swamped with calls, and many participants haven't yet received their official ID cards. Jerry Cohen with the AARP Oregon says right now all participants need to do is bring in their drug plan enrollment letter, Medicare or Medicaid ID number, and a photo ID, and the pharmacy can fill the prescription and then make contact with the Medicare program proper carrier afterwards. Government officials say that the large number of last-minute signups are causing the problems. The new benefit is the first time prescription drug coverage has been provided for millions of Americans receiving Medicare.
The budget conference agreement that passed the U.S. Senate and the House in slightly different forms in December and that the House of Representatives will vote on again on February 1st contains a little notice provision that would require all citizens applying or reapplying for Medicaid to produce a passport or birth certificate to prove citizenship. This new requirement, which in a recent study by the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services shows to be utterly unnecessary, would almost certainly create significant enrollment barriers for millions of low-income citizens who meet all Medicaid eligibility requirements otherwise.
Finally, Mayor Tom Potter and Commissioner Eric Sten will hold a press conference tomorrow to give an update on Portland's 10-year plan to end homelessness. The press conference will take place at Terry Schrunk Plaza in front of City Hall and inside City Hall if it's raining. The press conference begins at noon and will announce the preliminary one-year results of the 10-year plan. Jay, let's take it away with the show.
Thank you. Now on to Project Homeless Connect. Our first guest is County Commissioner Serena Cruz Walsh, who will give us an overview. Her office has been responsible for coordinating the event, and I would like to start with what was the appeal of this event, and how did you see it as being applicable to Portland?
I'm looking forward to talking about that, Jay. I first of all want to thank you both. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Michael, for inviting me and all of us to be on your show today. It's really exciting for us to have this opportunity to talk about Project Homeless Connect and all of the exciting things that are going on in Portland, especially given what we just heard you talk about, which was a lot of national news that's very sad and depressing. But we've got some really great opportunities here in Portland, and Project Homeless Connect is at the front of them. And I want to make sure that you all know, and everyone in the community knows, that City Commissioner Eric Sten, Mayor Tom Potter, and my office are all working on coordinating this event. So it's a really great step forward on the 10-year plan in homelessness, where we keep coming together as a city, county, the housing authority to do work for this community. So Project Homeless Connect, to dispense with the suspense, Project Homeless Connect is a very exciting community organizing event that's going to take place next Tuesday here in Portland at Memorial Coliseum. I learned about Project Homeless Connect in April last year in a meeting that we had around homelessness at a national group in New York, where I got a chance to listen to Mayor Newsom's staff assistant talk about the tremendous results they've been having in San Francisco, where they've been holding a Project Homeless Connect every other month for over a year now. Their first Project Homeless Connect had 200 volunteers, and this last Project Homeless Connect had 2,000 volunteers. So their vision around Project Homeless Connect is it's an opportunity to say, you know, we have all these plans in government about how we're trying to end homelessness, but it won't end and we won't be successful until the community is engaged in understanding these challenges and in contributing to how we solve the problems. So Project Homeless Connect creates a space where we can bring the community members together, so volunteers have a chance to come out, meet directly, work directly with homeless folks in our community. We bring service providers together, but we're also bringing together, and the most important part of Project Homeless Connect is that we're bringing together people who would not have been involved in solving issues for the homeless, like lens crafters, like Northwest Natural Gas, like Nike, a variety of organizations, and I'll get to them as we talk about it later on in the show. But we're engaging a variety of folks in solving this problem, not just the same old thing. And when you hear the details about this event, you're going to be thrilled, I think, to hear about how many people are getting involved, how many organizations are getting involved, businesses in addressing these challenges that we face here in our community.
Thank you.
So, Kim, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the specifics that we can expect with the day at Project Homeless Connect and some of the particular services and connections that will be made that will provide some opportunities for people who are experiencing homelessness?
Yeah, I am just thrilled. I'm in charge of the medical and dental area, and I am just one component of it. But in the medical and dental area, there's a real variety of services that are going to be provided. We're going to have two Northwest Medical Team vans there to provide dental services and acute dental care, pain relief kind of services. Expect to have like 24 appointments to actually being providing those services right there on the spot. There's going to be a van from outside in to do STD screening and HIV testing and some family planning type of stuff. We're going to have medical services, diabetic screening. NARA is going to be there to do diabetic screening. We're going to have immunizations. Providence has donated some Pneumovax vaccine. We've got donations for flu vaccine. The county's providing tetanus and hepatitis vaccine, all really needed immunizations that are really important for this population. And we've got seven providers, medical providers, that are going to be providing medical services on site. And two podiatrists to take care of feet and foot problems, because we know that's a major issue with homeless who are on their feet a lot of the time. And Providence let me know today that I think they've got four wheelchairs that they're going to have available for folks that may need them. We'll have chiropractors there, probably like four chiropractors to be able to work on folks, and acupuncturists. It's just really exciting, and a lot of services, socks for feet that need them, and that's just in the medical and dental area. We're going to have a vision van, and I think, you know, Serena mentioned lens crafters, and we're going to have prescription eyeglasses and reading glasses and eye exams. We're going to have alcohol and drug resources and mental health resources there. I'm sure I'm leaving people out. And that's just in my corner of the event. So there'll be veterinary services for Humane Society, et cetera, will be providing services. The vet van will be there to hook people up. It's really exciting. And I think people will really be connected. I've been just thrilled by the kind of cooperation and support that people have provided. We've had, once the information has gotten out, people are calling in. They're saying, what can I do to help? How can I make this event an even better event? And that's been really thrilling. So I really hope people will come from all over. And it's going to be at the Memorial Coliseum, so it's going to be on Fairless Square. And it's going to be from 10 in the morning until 2:30 for admission. And then people, once they get in, they can continue to go around to the various places to get services. So I sure hope we have a good turnout.
That sounds great. I know that this Homeless Connect is focused on single adults, mm-hmm. out on the street. And there's a projected, there's a lot of talk going on about a subsequent Homeless Connect in the spring for families. But I also noticed that you have a veterinarian. There are going to be veterinarians there, and dogs, of course, are family. So there aren't stark boundaries. And I know that no one will be turned away.
This is
a wonderful, inclusive, energizing kind of event, I think. I know that if people are listening who can help with getting people homeless folks that they know of who are not in the downtown area, if they can help them, there's a big question about getting adequate transportation for people in East County and North and Northeast Portland and the outlying areas of the county. If anyone has any ideas, to please use your computer to contact Portland Homeless Connect. call Serena Cruz Walsh's office, which is
503-988-5219.
Thank you. Because volunteers are always needed. And if you're interested in volunteering, it's not too late. Look on your computer for handsonportland.com.
Or www.portlandhomelessconnect.com.
Yeah, and Portland Homeless Connect is all one word.
Yes. So if I could talk for a second about the animal crates. I mean, we are encouraging people. Animal Control has stepped up. They're one of the partners in this that people might not have immediately thought of when they thought of Portland Project Homeless Connect. But the Animal Control is seeking donations of animal crates, and that's so that people can stay with their pets in shelters and in the arenas that they're in. So it's really important. There's so many different ways that people in this community can step up to help. Step up, come out that day for an hour, for the day, whatever it is that you can do. Contribute through joining the pet crate piece. Contribute through contributing to your to an agency that you know about. Contribute on another day. But it really is a reminder about there's so much that we can do here in Portland to work with the people who are here, our friends, our family in Portland.
So, which I think is a good segue, Keith, to have you share some thoughts and words. You are a volunteer who's going to be working with Project Homeless Connect. Talk about why you're engaged and what you see as the promise for the day.
Well, I'm both a volunteer. My name is Keith Van, and I'm a homeless advocate. I've been working with organizations like Sisters of the Road, Street Roots, the street newspaper, and right now I'm working on a project through Southeast Uplift called Project Pathway, which is actually closely aligned with this. It's a project designed to increase public awareness and public involvement in finding solutions to homelessness. My take on it, I'm very, very excited by all the effort that's gone into it. And I think that having a chance for people to get one-stop shopping, basically, for their basic needs is a very, very powerful concept. One of the things that I'm particularly excited about is the legal. There's going to be 5 legal stations and a chance for people to get some of their legal issues handled right away. Serena Cruz mentioned something about the pets and the veterinarian care. One of the things that people don't realize is that on the street, folks with animals are locked out of the shelter system because they have not traditionally been able to bring their animals with them. You think, well, animals on the street, that's a luxury. Well, not really, because animals provide a level of security and level of companionship that a lot of is essential for the mental well-being of a lot of people on the street. There are a lot of little subtleties that folks don't understand until they actually have a chance to talk one-on-one with people on the street. I think that's one of the more powerful concepts of Portland Homeless Connect, is a chance to give volunteers who may not necessarily might have chosen to volunteer for homelessness, give them a chance to actually experience what people on the street are going through and put a face on this thing called homelessness, put a real face so that there's a chance for them to actually build relationships. And from the relationships, change will come. Without the relationships, we really can't, as a community, we really can't hope to lick this problem.
This is Jay. I'd like to mention about the legal assistance. There are going to be paralegals, law students, and lawyers available at Homeless Connect and to help with special issues. And if they can't help it directly there or give pertinent advice, they can refer folks to other folks, you know, after the event itself. Also, the Pathway Project is involved in a video, depending on the agreement of
right. We just learned today that we had planned to have 2 or 3 cameras. We wanted to actually follow the experience of several clients through the process. We had to find out what their expectations were before, as they're going through, are their needs being met, and then talking to them in the end to find out whether expectations have been properly set for the event. There are a lot of unknowns with this. We don't really know how many people are coming. We don't really know what their needs are going to be. There's a lot of assumptions built in, and so it's going to be a very powerful learning process for this. But the other part of Pathway is to, we're going to be filming the volunteers as well, because we want to get their experience. We really want to find out, you know, how they've been changed or transformed by actually seeing these folks as real people, not unlike themselves, who just had a bad change of fortune. You know, there are so many misperceptions about homelessness that one-on-one contact can remedy. And so we're hoping that that's going to be a very, very powerful outcome from this.
Yeah, that's a critical piece, that homelessness can happen literally to anyone. What about working with the Lion as they're waiting to go in? Can you talk about
that? Yeah, we're going to be basically just engaging people in conversation. One of the things that I experienced, I was on the street for on and off for a couple of years when I first came to Portland. And one of the things that everybody, you know, abhors is waiting in line for service, waiting in line for DHS, for food stamps, waiting in line to try to get a place to sit at one of the food kitchens. You know, you're waiting all the time. You're waiting for services. You're waiting for events. And so we wanted to really take some of the pain out of waiting by talking to people. There's going to be runners that are going to bring in refreshments and coffee for people, give them a chance to sort of give their voice on ways that they'd like to see homelessness resolved.
Can I talk for a second? I mean, every detail of this event has generated tremendous volunteer response. So Stumptown is providing all of the grounds of the coffee grounds for the event. And we needed somebody to do the coffee all day long. So there's a mom in Southwest Portland, or west on the west side of Portland, who heard about the project, got very excited, and said she will stand there all day long and make the coffee. Wow. And talk to people. I know it's, you know, it really, it just, it's people are ready to get involved and to participate in this kind of a project and to have the place where it can be done to make that personal connection. Is as Keith said, what will really make the difference.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Kim from the health department. I'm really impressed that there's this attention to foot care, and that there's been a series in national and the New York Times about the explosion of type 2 diabetes, and that this sort of fits together, that you can sort of see if a person's having foot problems, if they're related to a possible diabetes problem, and I'm just really impressed by that, like the toenail clipping. And I know foot care is a nice, humble way to express your respect for other human beings, especially people who are going through a rough patch. And I guess, could you talk about some more of the
sure.
services that have come?
Sure. In terms of the foot care, actually, that really stemmed from recognizing that we often are encouraging people to take their shoes off when they come into clinic, so that we can examine their feet. And so actually I was coming from the standpoint of the health care system when I originally planned to have podiatry and foot care, and then kind of learn more about the foot washing component to things. We recognize that probably a quarter of the foot problem or of the medical problems that we're likely to see will be podiatry-related foot care kind of issues. And people are on their feet a lot. The diabetes in our population is there's a disparity there. There's a lot. It's a higher incidence of diabetes among homeless than the general population, as there are with a lot of the diseases. And it is very difficult to control that diabetes. And a lot of people with diabetes don't know they have it. And so if we're doing, you know, if they're having foot issues and we're washing their feet and in the process recognize that they've got ulcers or spots on it that they may not have recognized, then we have an opportunity to kind of link them in. And diabetes is a big concern. We are going to have the diabetic screening. We have referrals. And one of the things I don't think I mentioned is that and one of the things that's really exciting, it's very difficult for homeless and a lot of uninsured, not just homeless, to get in to access medical care in this community if they don't have any access to insurance. And so with one of the things that has happened is that we have follow-up appointments arranged, including, so if you are identified with having diabetes at the event, we're going to get you a follow-up appointment and a medical home when you leave that event. So the next day or the day afterwards, you'll have a place to go. And we've had really great response. NARA does a lot of work with diabetes. Westside does a lot of work with diabetes. And we'll be getting people in for follow-up appointments. Oregon Health Sciences, University Richmond Clinic, and internal medicine clinics have offered follow-up appointments. Outside In has offered follow-up appointments. So it's really exciting. Not only are we going to be able to take care of people's medical needs at the time, but if they identify as having a chronic kind of a need or a chronic condition that needs follow-up care, which most folks are going to, then we're either going to try to hook them up with their medical home or we're going to provide them a new medical home. And so we're really excited about that as well.
That's wonderful. A lot of uninsured people out on the street.
Yeah. Well, it's a chance to get your feet clean and get some fresh socks. Socks are like one of the most requested items on the street, clean socks, because it's so difficult to keep your feet clean.
Thanks to Nike.
Well, it's really impressive. I mean, there's several things that strike me, and I think we've touched on a lot of them here. The component of meeting the many needs that people who are homeless have that might not be apparent to the community in general, whether it's having glasses that help you see, having assistance for your pet and your companion, very real medical issues that people need immediate attention with. One of the things, though, that is different from what this first project, Homeless Connect, I'm being a little bold here saying this first project, Homeless Connect, to the one in San Francisco, is in San Francisco there was some availability for shelter beds that would be at that time. Is that going to be part of Project Homeless Connect this first time around?
It's my understanding that everyone who participates in Project Homeless Connect will have a bed that night. Permanent housing is our goal in Portland, and that we can't guarantee that night. But we are working to get people into the system so that they will be ready to get access to that permanent supportive housing. And just it's a good opportunity to highlight one of the results from the 10-year plan to end homelessness for the first year. We said in our first year for the 10-year plan, we would get 175 chronically homeless people in housing. We actually got 600 chronically homeless people moved into housing, and 50% of them were moved directly from the streets. Those are astounding results that we need to be proud of as a city, but we can do better. We have 2,000 plus folks living on the streets in addition to all the children that you were talking about.
On any given night, yeah.
Yep, on any given night. So there is a lot of room for us to make a difference. But we should be proud of the difference that we're making here in Portland and that we'll continue to make.
Right. Portland isn't immune to the feminization of poverty by any means.
No.
We're approaching the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a brief music break. After the break, we'll be taking calls. So please think of what you want to find out more about. The number is 503-231-8187. Please call after the music break.
And I think of home, I think of a place where there's a place. We all got to have
a place where someone lives, a residence.
There's the physical distinction within which one lives, such as a house, a dwelling place, with your social unit that occupies it, a household. An environment offering security and happiness, a valued place, a native habitat, a place where something is discovered, founded, developed, or promoted, a source, a headquarters, a home base, an all correlating to a team's place of origin, on or into the point from which something is directed, to the center or the heart.
I came up in the
the street around some real wild brothers with more than one name and more than one baby mother. More than one case, been on more than one run. Got more than one enemy and more than one gun. One want none? All that's left to want is more. Why them cats who's less privileged is just more raw. Less space cause the project laced with more floors. Less sleep cause the nights ain't peace, it's more war. The cannons roar like thirsty rainy season thunderclaps on the block where your old pop play the number at. To the spot with the red top, means it's huddled at. To the crib where the little kids spend their summer trapped with the jungle cats. Lions and tigers, leopards and cheetahs. For gazelles you get chased like a zebra. They blaze Sheba Sheba and dominate the weaker on the street. Hungry bellies only love what they eat, and it's hard to compete when they smiling with your heart and they teeth. And the odds are stacked high beyond and beneath. Son, I've been plenty places in my life and time, and regardless where home is, son, home is mine.
We all got to have some place that we come from. This place where we come from is called home.
So many places I go.
We set out on our travels. We do the best we can. We travel this big earth and we roam.
Yes,
we all got to have some place that we come from. I said the place that we come from is called home. On the map, instead of anywhere you from, this where you at.
What the wind, yeah.
Some people live out,
yo, sit that.
Yeah. Some people live in
Atlanta.
Some people got to live
Chicago.
And some people do live
Miami.
And all my people that live
California.
And other people got to live
London.
And everybody got to live in the whole big world. Together, just you and me. When I think of home, my remembrance of my beginning. Laundromat helping Marduk fold the bed linen. Chilling from my building with my brother and them. Spending nights in Bushwick with my cousins and them. Wild style and Beach Street. Federal Relief slowly melting in the morning grits we used to eat.
Right.
Sticking to your teeth and teeth is hard to keep with every flavor now or later.
Welcome back to the Hole in the Bucket Show. This is Michael Anderson. You're listening to KBOO FM 90.7 on your dial. We are talking about Project Homeless Connect, and now we're opening the lines to callers. We have Commissioner Serena Cruz, Kim Tierney from Multnomah County, and homeless advocate Keith Van joining Jay Thiemeyer here tonight in the studio. So I believe we have a caller here. All right. Good evening, caller. You're on KBOO FM.
Hello. I want to find out if the needs of people who have domestic violence problems or rape crisis problems or need safe child care, were those issues?
It looks like we lost our caller, but what do you guys want to address her question?
Absolutely. With respect to child care, I know that the homeless families providers are stepping up to provide a child care. Oh, they had talked about it. Kim knows more of the details. I think I'm going to hand them. I know higher level discussions, and then when they turn into action, other people are at the table knowing the details. So,
I'll give you what I know.
Okay.
Okay. And that is that I think that there's been talk about trying to do a similar kind of event for homeless families.
Yes.
And that we are targeting this event more towards adults. And so we're not really prepared to, I'm not aware that we are providing any kind of child care at the event. However, there will be homeless families folks at the events that will help to connect people to services. Certainly, although it's targeted to singles or to adults in this situation, again, what Jay said earlier is that no one would be turned away, but I don't know that, I don't think that child care is going to be provided. If it's a possibility to come and maybe find an alternate place for the child on that day, that might be a better option.
And what about the questions related to domestic violence? Will there be things in particular for people who are escaping and surviving domestic violence?
There will be a lot of services, legal services. There will be healthcare services. There will be a lot of benefits, and the benefits area is an area that I'm not specifically, that's not an area that I'm strong in. In terms of that, but I think that if you come in, we can get you some references and some help.
And I just want to say that I really appreciate the question, and that we had some initial discussions about providing childcare, so I will ask to see what actually happened around that, and I will ask about the specifics. We definitely have all of the things that Kim just talked about, but I'll check to see if our domestic violence unit specifically has been engaged and that sort of thing. It's a great question. We appreciate it, and we'll follow up.
If there's a development in that area, will it be posted on the Portland Homeless Connect?
Yes, portlandhomelessconnect.org.
So
www.portlandhomelessconnect.org.
I think that we have another caller on the line. Good evening. You're on KBFM.
It's the same call I got cut off. I wanted to find out, this event, is it going to be held every year? And also, will there be support and help in the following weeks and months? And I guess that's enough for now.
Excellent question.
It is. It's a great question. So thank you so much for it. What we know is that we're going to get through this event right now. It is, we underestimated the amount of work and the amount of people that it would take to pull together this sort of event. Kim, can you comment just on how many people attend your weekly meetings?
Well, I have a weekly meeting just for the medical and dental group alone, and there are about between 15 and 20 that come to that meeting. And then we go to the meeting that's the committee meeting, and I'd say that's, how many do you think, Keith? About?
There's another 15.
15. So that's just the coordinating group. I know that within our medical dental group, we're expecting 80 volunteers in that group alone. So there are a lot of people involved and a lot of exciting things. In terms of just in responding to your question about follow-up, I think most of us are wanting something beyond that day. And the idea of follow-up medical appointments for our section is a critical piece to that. We're not going to be satisfied if you just get your care that day and then you're going back out and not having any kind of care that follows up. So, and I think in terms of legal, in terms of benefits, the idea is to connect people to services so that they've got more than when they came in, and that it is an ongoing, there's an increase in the connection to services and benefits and that they need.
You were mentioning the example of people who are screened for diabetes, that they are going to be attended to immediately if they show signs of having diabetes and they need some sort of hospitalization or some care. That will be pretty much, that'll be provided that day. Is that correct?
If we identify somebody who is has a high blood sugar that needs hospitalization or needs to get an ER visit or whatever, yeah, we'll be not only making sure that they get services right then, but we'll also be getting them hooked into ongoing care through a medical home, which I think is important or more important.
So our conversation is stimulating a lot of calls, which is exciting. We have another caller on the line. Welcome, you're on KBOO.
Hi, this is a great conversation tonight. I was calling to find out about how to engage low-income and homeless people in the political process, how to get them to register to vote and to vote. I register a lot of voters, and, you know, if you don't have an address, it's very difficult to register. We know from the voter returns that low-income neighborhoods vote in much lower percentages than more wealthier areas. And, you know, these are the issues that come up on ballots, such as increasing minimum wage, voting for an iTax to pay for social services, or, you know, voting for a president. These are issues that affect all of us, but especially low-income people. And it would be great if we could engage them.
Right. Voter registration is going to be a huge piece of this.
Keith Excellent. Is actually taking some of that on, aren't you? Or
if you're homeless and you don't have an address, it is a major hurdle to figure out how to register to vote.
Absolutely.
Now, I think you're absolutely right about that. Did you have some comments?
Well, I know that there will be voter registration, and I've been asked to participate in some of the voter registration. I wanted to address the kind of the larger issue, because I think a lot of poor and homeless people don't vote because they don't have the information. They don't feel that they're informed enough to actually participate. And so one of the things that we're going to try to do through other efforts, you know, along with future Portland Connects, is to try to get that information out to people and keep people in the loop.
That'd be fantastic. Great. I'll take my answer out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and I think that that's really is, Keith, what you were getting at, and really the questions about follow-up all talk about a connectivity to not just the immediate home or services, but to being a part of the larger community. I know that in San Francisco, this is where this started, and then a lot of other cities around the country have had to build on this, tried to build on the successful San Francisco model. Do you know about what any other cities have done as far as what it might preview for Portland? Now, you were saying there's been more challenges in this first one than anticipated. Have we seen other cities that have begun to do a second or a third Homeless Connect?
There was a big push by the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness for all of us to do, for 20 to 24 cities to do Project Homeless Connects on December 8th. Portland decided we wanted to wait to make sure ours was in a good position, that we had the right place that we wanted to do it, to do that sort of thing. And what we have found out is that out of those 24 cities, Portland's will be second in size only to San Francisco. That we will really be doing this on a scale that none of the other cities, Portland, Atlanta, New York, were able to do. So we don't know the very specifics. There were important events. They took place across the nation. But we're really excited about what has come together in Portland and what we're looking forward to seeing at Memorial Coliseum next week. It's really going to be an important and extraordinary event.
I'd like to ask Kim, what is the contribution that this single day event will make in comparison to, say, the daily offering of agencies? Obviously, it's going to expedite things for people. It's obviously bringing the community into this. It's going to increase community awareness. Could you respond to that as far as like health needs?
Well, I think it's going to get a lot of people who are not currently getting services or hooked up with medical care hooked up. I mean, we have between the just in terms of the follow-up, I'm just doing a math count here, but we've got probably close to 100 new patient appointments that we're planning on being able to provide between the various agencies that will be, you know, an ongoing kind of service. There's a lot of effort being put into this day as well. We've got providers. A lot of those providers are currently working in our system. Like, for instance, we've got quite a few that are coming from the health department that are going to be participating. Wallace Medical Concern is having providers that are participating. NAR is having folks. We've got a lot of folks that are often serving this population, and they are, but they're kind of diverting some of their services to do some outreach. But I think it's really important, because what we saw when we went down to San Francisco to take a look at what they were doing is that there are people that may be connected to services, but because of just juggling the basic needs in their life, they don't get in for things that are really, really critical care. And I was just in the medical unit down there. I was amazed at the acuity of the medical problems that people came in with. I mean, I think there were probably 4 ER transports while I was there during that 5-hour period. And people came in with very serious conditions that, again, didn't rise to the top of their list because they had all these basic needs that they were dealing with.
What sort of mental health population did they deal with? What did they see? I know they've had like 8 of these, so they've probably gotten the worst, in the most dramatic cases, but that seems like a big piece to me.
Well, they did have, I wasn't in the mental health portion, but they did have a group that, or some mental health responders, just like Project Respond will be at the event, at our event, to kind of deal with people that are in mental health crisis at the event itself. And then there will be mental health resources. And again, there was a mental health section next to the medical section in San Francisco, but it was I wasn't as involved with that part of it.
There's the whole area of emotional crisis, too. People that really aren't, you know, their crisis isn't severe enough to get mental health, but they still could use some counseling. They still could use somebody to talk to help them through it. I think more of that needs to be done in future events.
So the number again is 503-231-8187. You're listening to Hole in the Bucket, and we're here talking about Project Homeless Connect, which is going to happen at the Memorial Coliseum on January 17th from 10 o'clock to 2:30. That's admission time. But as we've been discussing, a lot of the services and activities will actually carry beyond that day and certainly into the afternoon if there are immediate service providers or other professionals such as people from Lens Crafters who will be helping out. So as we wait to see if we get some other callers coming in and getting towards the back end of the show, we've sort of danced around this issue of would there be another Project Homeless Connect. We're just hearing this is the second biggest one in the country, so I know before we even have that first one, that's a huge question to ask. But what are sort of the thoughts? Do people see this as something that's going to build like it did in San Francisco?
Well, we know for sure we want to see an event for homeless families in the spring or in the summer. And so that's our next, get through this event, do it the best we can, engage as many Portlanders as we can and Multnomah County residents and organizations and businesses as we can in this community, and then prepare for the next event that will focus on families with different needs. It'll look different. It'll be a different kind of event. But at that point, it will be what is Portland ready for? What do our partners want to do? How did people think it made a difference? Did we leverage enough private and other organizations' involvement to make it worth the time and the energy that it took to pull this sort of thing together? I think it's a question we can't answer until we get through these two events. And we want as many people as possible to turn out and to engage in these events. And again, Hands on Portland is our key volunteer partner in this effort, and they've hosted the website at www.portlandhomelessconnect.org. And I'll tell you a quick story about Becky.
Actually, go ahead. Just correct you.
It's com.com.
Yeah.
I did that earlier today. My apologies. Becky Bloom is a staff member for Hands on Portland, and she went down to see the San Francisco just like other folks have done. And she said it changed her life. And this is a woman who does volunteerism for a living. So, you know, we think this event can have that kind of impact in Portland, and we just need to wait and see.
There's one thing I wanted to add about it. This is not going to be a roundup. We've gotten assurance from the police that anybody with outstanding warrants will not be arrested for those warrants. They'll have amnesty while they're at the event. So this should not deter any homeless people who may feel they're in dubious circumstances from coming down.
Right. Along that line, I do want to mention that Operation or this Project Clean Slate is not going to be a part of this. They're organizing their own event, which I don't know the date of that. But.
Well, Project Clean Slate has a big backlog that they are working through on a monthly basis to get, and then they're going to work to get to new populations over time. So Project Clean Slate is doing a tremendous job of working to help people clean up their records. But we've got the agreements, and everyone is working to make sure people feel safe and that this is a secure environment, but it won't be addressing that specific concern.
Right. But otherwise, there will be legal assistance available.
Yes.
That piece is being addressed. There are going to be lawyers to deal with special issues, paralegals, law students for backup. And what can't be handled that day, there will be referrals to people who can hopefully help out. There will also, I wanted to mention, there's going to be a hot meal, and there are going to be phone calls. Now, are these long-distance phone calls to family or loved ones?
Yeah, one of the long-distance providers is actually going to be offering free long-distance phone calls.
Actually, Singular.
Singular,
is
yes.
providing phone calls throughout the United States.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yes. Yeah. We're really honored.
So if you need to talk to, long-lost loved ones or parents that you haven't talked to in 15 years, this will be your opportunity.
I think I said something like this just a few minutes before on the show, but it's really so impressive to me all the things that have been pulled together for this day. And I think quite often when people who are in their own lives haven't been close to someone who's homeless, you might think of it in a very monolithic way. Oh, this is a person who drinks too much, or they're just, living on the streets, without thinking of all the different parts of your life that you take for granted, whether it be being able to call a loved one on their birthday, or you know, whether it be able to read a road sign because your glasses are the appropriate. Excuse me, I have a little interference here. Well, it's about 6:50 p.m., so it's about time that we sort of wrap up our show. And I think one of the things that we'd like to do is maybe go from each one of you and just go around and say, what's your hope for the best way that Project Homeless Connect could go next week? What do you see the biggest promise from it?
Well, I'd like to see much more participation from businesses and private enterprise, because I personally believe that dependence on government to solve our social problems is in the past. The community is really going to have to step up, and it's really going to be private contributions that we're going to need to resolve some of these issues. So I'm hoping definitely that both people and a private enterprise step up and realize that they can make a difference, that we can solve homelessness.
I want to agree with Keith, but in addition to that, I think one of the things that has come out of this that I wouldn't have really guessed early on is the coordination and collaboration between the various systems, the talking that we've done. And we're thinking less in terms of silos and doing more interagency referrals and problem solving together as a group. And as that group expands to include more and more businesses and agencies and organizations, I think we can do a lot more, and it's really exciting to me to start looking at ways we can solve some of these problems as a community.
Kim and Keith are exactly right. We can't solve homelessness on our own in government. We won't get there, and we can get there unless this community steps up and gets engaged. And Kim is also right that people in this community don't care who provides the service. They care that it gets done. And the 10-year plan to end homelessness is encouraging and facilitating that cooperation and collaboration among agencies and government, but that this opportunity is giving us another chance to do it. And I'd really like to take a chance to appreciate the work and commitment that folks like Kim and Keith have done and all the other members of the committees that have come together to work toilsomely over the last few months to put together this extraordinary project. But especially I want to acknowledge the political staff members who've been working on this. Mary Carroll on my staff, Tara Bowen-Biggs, Kathleen Gardapi on Commissioner Eric Sten's staff, Sarah Culp on the mayor's staff. I mean, these are people who are answering phone calls, working with all these people, making a bunch of calls, picking up vans and doing things to make sure that the details of this event take place. And it's just an extraordinary, extraordinary effort. Is there something?
Yes, I think that all of your descriptions and hopes for the day are outstanding. I'd like to appreciate all of you for coming out tonight and helping to do the show. One more time, the website is www.PortlandHomelessConnect.com. That's one word, PortlandHomelessConnect.com. We've said .org a couple times tonight. You know, live radio, you do what you can, but it's .com. We have DJ audio and nonstop hip-hop coming up next, and I'm going to turn it over to Jay for some closing comments to send us off.
Well, I'd like to thank our guests, and I'd like to thank Michael for facilitating. It's been fun. And I would like to encourage listeners to please think about volunteering. If not for this upcoming event, look forward to this spring or summer event for families. This is a very critical issue. Homelessness is not going away. It's getting worse. And especially given the fact that government is not responding to the needs of the people, you know, it's up to us as a community to make ourselves aware of what the situation is and to do what we can to help it. So thank you, Michael. And thank you, guests.
Yes, and thank you to our all-star engineer, Orion.
And, yes, thank you, Orion.
Yes, and good night to all you out there. Once again, KBOO 90.7 FM on your dial, community radio. Good night.
sleeping in their shoes. But there's a warning sign on the road ahead. There's a lot of people saying we'd be better off dead. Don't feel like Satan, but I am to them. So I try to forget it any way I can. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on.
This is the community calendar for Wednesday, January 11th. The Portland Parks and Recreation is holding a community budget meeting tonight from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Benson High School cafeteria. The address is 546 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland.